Free Presbyterian Church of Ulster, we present Let the Bible Speak. It's good to have you join us today as we spend time around the Word of God, preaching Christ in all His fullness to men and women in all their need.
Of Let the Bible Speak, I want to welcome you to this service today. We trust that we have the blessing of the Lord upon our time together. Let's bow together in prayer. Almighty God and gracious Heavenly Father, we still our hearts in Thy presence. We draw near to the throne of heavenly grace through our dear Savior, Thy dear Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank Thee that He is the sole King and Head of the Church. And we meet in His name today, and we seek for the blessing of the Lord to be upon our time together. We thank Thee for Your precious word that You have given by divine inspiration. And as we come in a short time to study it together, we pray for the blessing of the Lord to rest upon the ministry of divine truth. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh upon us. Infill this preacher with divine power. And help me to exalt the blessed Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. We're turning in the Word of God to the Gospel of John in the chapter 12 for our Bible reading. John's Gospel, chapter 12, and we'll commence to read at the 20th verse. And there were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast. The same came therefore to Philip, which was of Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, Sir, we would see Jesus. Philip cometh and telleth Andrew, and again Andrew and Philip tell Jesus. And Jesus answered them, saying, The hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause came I unto this hour. Father, glorify thy name. Then came there a voice from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. The people therefore that stood by and heard it said that it thundered. Others said, an angel spake to him. Jesus answered and said, this voice came not because of me, but for your sakes. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. This he said, signifying what death he should die. Ending a reading at verse 33, we know that the Lord will bless his word to all of our hearts. I want to draw your attention to the lovely words of the Savior in John's Gospel, chapter 12 and verse 32. Jesus says, and I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. We see from the opening verse of this chapter that it's 6 days before the Passover. That means it's just a week before the cross. Where does Jesus desire to spend his last week? His final days before he is crucified, at Bethany, and with a family who loved him so much. It is in this home that a beautiful act of devotion and love is shown towards Christ, not long before the cross. We read about it in verse 3, how Mary took a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. These were troubled days, days of opposition. The desire to have Jesus killed was intensified. And though there had been a great miracle declaring the power and the deity of Christ, namely the resurrection of Lazarus from the dead, And though this resulted in many, many conversions, the Jews were intent on destroying Christ and even Lazarus. We read in verse 10, but the chief priests consulted that they might put Lazarus also to death, because that by reason of him, many of the Jews went away and believed on Jesus. The triumphal ride of Christ into Jerusalem has taken place. The branches of the palm trees were waved and cast at his feet as the multitudes cried, "Hosanna, blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord." The miracle of the raising of Lazarus and the crowds lining the road into Jerusalem caused untold dismay to the Pharisees, causing them to cry out, "Behold, the world is gone after him." I only wish something like this was happening today, that the crowds were coming out, that the world indeed was hankering after Christ, but that is not so. Anyhow, this display of support and popularity was soon to come to nothing when many of these same people turned against the Lord Jesus Christ. The time for the death of the Savior had arrived. We read in verse 23 and 24 of this chapter that Jesus answered them, saying, "The hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone, but if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit." The soul of the Lord Jesus Christ is troubled. He speaks about it in verse 27, "Now is my soul troubled." And he speaks about his crucifixion in this manner, the words of our text, where he says, "And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me." There is not a grander theme that I could speak upon than the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. There is not a greater theme that I could exalt and proclaim to any man than that time when the Lord Jesus Christ was taken by wicked hands and crucified upon the cross of Calvary. So come with me to the cross of Christ and sit for a little while in meditation upon the sufferings of the Savior and see the mighty impact that it has upon a fallen world. For the cross has an amazing power to draw sinners to saving faith in Jesus Christ. I have two simple thoughts that I want to leave with you from this text. First of all, we have the unfolding of the eternal purpose. Jesus said, "If I be lifted up from the earth." Here is the climax of his ministry. Here is the fulfillment of the divine decree, the very heart of the gospel, the lifting up of Jesus Christ upon the cross to die. Now, first of all, this statement of the Savior, "If I be lifted up from the earth," points to the crucifixion of Christ. Yonder upon that cruel tree, the blessed Jesus Christ, God's only Son, was put to death in the flesh. The soldiers took him. They led him upon that Roman cross. They drove the spikes into his hands and his feet. And the Lord Jesus Christ is lifted up to die. And there he is, suspended betwixt heaven and earth. The Lord preached about this at the beginning of his ministry. In that interview that he had with Nicodemus in John chapter 3, he spoke of that day when men would take him and lift him up. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. And he was referring to that time at the close of his ministry when he would be lifted up upon the cross of Calvary. Behold the bleeding sacrifice there. Behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. Mark the words of Christ here, "If I be lifted up from the earth." Here is love. Here is sacrifice. Here indeed is redemption and forgiveness and pardon and victory, cleansing and peace. Here is the conquering of sin and the defeat of Satan. So first of all, these words of Christ points to his crucifixion. But secondly, they also point to the exaltation of the mediator. The wording here includes at least the thought of the ascension of Christ into heaven. It is from his heavenly throne that Christ draws souls unto himself. It is from that place where he ever liveth to make intercession for his people that he brings men unto himself. There at the right hand of the Father, where he pleads in heaven on our behalf. There in heaven, Jesus is drawing sinners to himself, and his prayers are very effectual. His statement points to the crucifixion. His statement points to his exaltation. But also, his statement points to the proclamation of the preacher, indeed of the Christian. The words lifted up means to raise on high, to exalt, to elevate. There is one central message that must outweigh all other messages that we proclaim, and that is the cross. We must preach the whole counsel of God's word. We must rightly divide the word of truth. Sin must be condemned, and men must be brought to sense and feel and understand their sin and know the awful consequences of their sin. Hell is an eternal reality that burns for the lost forevermore, and it must be seen in all its eternal darkness and condemnation. The judgment day is hastening on, that day in which all men will be summoned to the judgment bower to stand before Almighty God. And the second coming is an important fact that is emphasized over and over again in the Scriptures. All the glorious doctrines of theology and Christology must be declared. The birth of Christ, the life of Christ, the sinless character of the dear Savior, the resurrection of the Lord, his ascension into glory, and his deity, the fact that he is God. And Christ must be lifted up in all these glorious truths. But no truth is more important nor more glorious than that of the cross. For it is there that salvation was provided and procured. It is there that man can find Christ and be saved. It's the way of the cross that leads home. Preaching on hell will never save you. It will warn you. It will warn you to flee from the wrath of God to come. Preaching on heaven will never save you. It will warm you. I trust it will warm your heart as you think of the glories that are yet to be laid up in heaven for the people of God. Preaching on all these other doctrines that I have mentioned will never save you. There may be elements there that will win you to Christ, but my friends, it's the cross that has the power to save, and we must ever set the cross before our hearers. So here, in the words of Christ, we have the unfolding of the eternal purpose. Jesus says, if I be lifted up. But the second thought that I want to draw your attention to is the unveiling of the evangelical power. For Jesus says when he's lifted up, listen to this statement, I will draw all men unto me. Here is the drawing power of the gospel. That word draw means to pull. It means to persuade. The power, the persuasion of the gospel is not in our oratory. It is not to be found in the preacher. It is not in the attractiveness of the church, no matter how attractive that church might seem to be. It is not in men's gifts to argue, convince, and persuade. No, it is in an elevated, crucified Christ. That's where the real power is. Oh, the power of the cross. There is an attraction in the cross of Christ that is mightier than any other power in this world. It melts hearts. It breaks stubborn wills. It touches the soul more deeply and effectually than anything else. It will prove to be the mightiest and the most sovereign influence ever brought to bear upon the human will. And when revealed by the Holy Spirit of God, the operation of the Spirit within the heart of man, it is very powerful, it is very effectual. In our natural estate, there is no beauty that we should desire him. Isn't that what the prophet Isaiah declared? True it is that when the natural man looks at Christ, there's nothing to attract him to the Savior. No beauty to be found in him. But my dear friends, Jesus Christ will draw every lost soul unto himself, ordained to eternal salvation. Not one will be missing. Not one will be forgotten. Not one will be left behind. Indeed, not one will be lost. Each soul will be gathered home one day to glory. The reason why you have not come to Christ, and maybe I'm talking to some who are listening today and they know not the Savior, you're a stranger to his grace, you do not know the cleansing of the blood and your sins forgiven. The reason why you have not come to Christ is that you have not been drawn to him as yet through the cross. The work of Calvary has not properly dawned upon your mind and your heart. Indeed, your eyes are closed to this truth. Your ears are shut to this truth. Your heart is dull in understanding. And all you have heard up until this present time is the preacher's voice, or the pleadings of a dear mother or father, or the persuasions of a concerned friend. May God put an ear upon your heart that the power of Christ might be felt in your soul. That's what's needed. This power draws all men, the Savior says. Every kind of individual, not every man throughout all the centuries of time. There's no such thing as universal salvation. The Bible makes that abundantly clear. But all kinds of sinners, poor beggars, rich statesmen, profligate sinners, self-righteous Pharisees, uneducated men, philosophers, your neighbor who needs the Lord Jesus Christ, your friend who is outside of the Lord, still in his or her sin, your colleague at work, your loved one at home, oh, the heathen that you have never met, lift the cross. Let me say to you, dear believer, lift the cross before your fellow man. Make it your chief business in all your witnessing. For there's nothing that is more powerful than the cross of Christ. There is no salvation outside this drawing power. There is no salvation outside hearing the message of the gospel. There is no salvation outside the proclamation of Christ. And so, therefore, we must make it our business to exalt him, to lift him up, for that's where the drawing power is. Sadly, there will be those who will not come. After all our preaching, after all our persuading, after all our praying, there will be those who will not turn to Christ. Many of the Jews refused the Lord Jesus in the very days in which he ministered. And Jesus lamented, "Ye will not come to me that ye might have life." And there will be many poor souls in Jerusalem that he would have gathered when he was here upon the earth. But the Lord Jesus Christ lamented, they would not come. As the cross is drawing the great multitude from all the nations of the world, from all the countries out there in the earth, what about you? Are you rejecting Christ as your Savior? Are you neglecting so great salvation? I pray today that God, the Holy Spirit, will lead you to Calvary, where the ultimate sacrifice was made, where the greatest love was demonstrated, where the deepest sufferings were experienced. For it is the power of the cross that saves men from sin. Oh, there is an attraction here, a drawing power, a beauty to the awakened soul. Jesus was dying for sinners. He was bearing our sin. He was suffering in our stead. He was taking upon him the wrath of a holy God, enduring our hell, carrying away our sin, satisfying divine justice, paying the debt that we owed. The crucifixion itself was ugly, a pathetic sight, a gruesome experience, a heinous crime, but the love being demonstrated by the dying Savior was truly beautiful. In my place, condemned he stood. He sealed my pardon with his blood. We cry in the very depths of our heart, hallelujah, what a Savior. Do you see him, my friend? Do you see Christ crucified for your sin? Do you see this Lord and Savior taking your punishment? Lifted up was he to die. I want that truth to burn itself into your heart this day. If you're not a Christian, turn to him now and seek the Lord for Jesus' sake. Let's all pray. Almighty God and gracious Father, we thank thee for your word. We bless you for the lifting up of the Lord Jesus Christ upon the cruel tree. We pray that even this day there will be that drawing power that will bring men and women to him in salvation for Jesus' sake. Amen.
Thank you for spending some time with us today around the Word of God. For further information, visit our website at ltbs.tv. We look forward to joining with you next time as we seek to let the Bible speak once again.